And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That's the day we check in with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
So we're going to talk about a thing called Dorian's Closet. It's at Rep Stage. That's the Equity Professional Theater Company in residence at Howard Community College over in Columbia. So who is Dorian and why should we care what's in his closet?
Well, I should tell you, Tom, that the show's subtitle is A New Musical Loosely Based on Truth. And Dorian is Dorian Corey, who was a real-life, relatively famous female impersonator, died in Harlem in 1993. The show takes place from the 80s through 93. And Dorian Corey was famous for two reasons. She was prominently featured in a 1990 documentary called Paris is Burning. If you heard of that, it was about the New York drag ball culture.
Right.
And then after she died, there was a very morbid discovery made in her apartment closet, and I'm not going to give that away. I will tell you, this show is a world premiere. It's the first world premiere in Rep Stage's 24-year history. The musical was the idea of the show's scriptwriter and lyricist, who's a fellow named Richard Mailman. He's a L.A.-based writer. The show itself is always interesting, partly because this culture is interesting, it's colorful, it's inherently theatrical, but the show also still needs some work. There's a very dark deed that takes place here, and it's conveyed a little too sympathetically. That's one issue with the show. Well, I mentioned the documentary Paris is Burning, which I watched as research for this, and Dorian's Closet includes film clips in which Stephen Scott Wormley, who plays Dorian, reenacts some of her monologues from the film. And these videos are shown at the beginning and the end of the musical. So I brought one that gives some insight into Dorian's character.
I always had dreams of being a star. And then I got out into the real world and I realized that people like us don't stand a chance in hell of ever getting anywhere. So you set your sights a little lower. You hope and you pray and you try to stay optimistic. Everyone wants to leave their mark on the world, leave some sort of impression, so you do what you can.
All right, that's Stephen Scott Wormley. He's in the title role of Dorian's Closet at Rep Stage in Columbia. So, Judy, this is a musical about drag queens, so obviously it brings to mind La Cage aux Folles. I remember that great movie version of that with, what was it, Nathan Lane and Robin Williams?
Oh, yeah, I think they called that one the Birdcage.
And Birdcage, yeah, but it was based on the show. Is that a valid comparison?
Well, I think that any musical about drag shows is bound to be compared to La Cage aux Folles. And I have to say, those are pretty big shoes to fill at the risk of making a joke about high heels for drag queens being pretty big shoes. But I also sensed references in this to Sunset Boulevard, both in the music and in the theme of the fear of fading glory and how you'll eventually be remembered. And for me, the music and at times the look of the show of Dorian's Closet summoned up a bit of Bob Fosse, specifically Candor and Ebb, Chicago, Cabaret. A drag show is a natural for a musical. I called it inherently theatrical. I mean, it's a built-in forum for production numbers, and about a third of the score of Dorian's Closet is songs that are performed in a drag club or at a drag ball. There are a few numbers that begin in a dressing room, and then they continue onto the club stage. One of these production numbers comes in the second act. It's called Pay the Tab, and it comments on Dorian's romantic problems, so it progresses the plot, and it's also really cleverly staged. The performers' heads sort of pop out of hidden panels in the set. The music's by Ryan Haas. He's the artistic director of Still Point Theater here in Baltimore. He's a Towson University grad. And the music ranges from a very traditional Broadway sound to kind of a bit of 80s disco, fitting the period of the show. Unfortunately, no recordings of the songs were available, but I did bring the piano intro to the first song, They'll Remember. This is a bit about Dorian's legacy, as I mentioned, and that's one of the themes of the show. And at the end of this clip, you're going to hear a musical clue to sort of the ominous turn that the action takes.
Thank you.
right, that's the pianist and musical director of Dorian's Closet, Stacey Antoine, playing the intro to one of the tunes from the show. So, Judy, all the musicals that you've compared to this show have big casts. What's the scale of Dorian's Closet over at Rep Stage?
Well, this is a very small scale. Only 8 actors. It's an all-male cast and a really solid ensemble with some very strong performances. It's directed by Joseph W. Rich and choreographed by Rachel Dolan. Stephen Scott Wormley, whom we heard earlier, is a very self-confident Dorian and sings very forcefully, but also can sing in a very tender way. And the performance allows us to see the self-confidence, but also some of the vulnerability in Dorian's personal life. And then Dwayne Washington and James Thomas Frisbee are real standouts as Dorian's best friend. Frisbee especially is just a vocal powerhouse. One of the rare disappointments is an actor named Jay Adriel, who plays Dorian's love interest, Robert. And I'm afraid his acting tends to fall a little flat, and you don't really get a sense of where this character of Robert is coming from. And he's a very crucial character, so that's a difficulty.
All right, so Dorian's Closet, obviously it's a musical about female impersonators, so one would assume the costumes play a big role. I mean, what are they like? Are they good?
Oh, wow. They are designed by Sarah Cubbage, and of course, drag shows and balls, as you say, they call for really glitzy, glam, extravagant gowns, and some of them were clearly inspired by the look of some of the costumes in Paris is Burning. They didn't stint on a single sequin or feather in this production at Rep Stage, and the actors wear this clothing with real panache. And I also have to say they're very, very good wigs, which aren't credited in the program, but the wigs really help some of these actors totally transform themselves.
All right, so Rep Stage is their first world premiere. That's a real gutsy move, good for them. What do you think? Is this a worthy first effort?
It's a very worthy first effort. It's a small cast with big talent. It's an impressive score. The script still needs some work. I mentioned some problems, including the character of Robert needing more development. Dorian doesn't know much about him, but the audience needs at least some hints. And the last scene between Robert and Dorian has this kind of campy, melodramatic feel that's out of sync with the tone of the rest of the show. And there's another problem. This is in the physical production. The revelation of this discovery in Dorian's closet is very unclear to the audience. You can't quite tell what you're looking at. It looks like some kind of glittery mask and a lot of fabric. I have to say, Dorian Corey wanted to be remembered, and certainly was, but for more than her talent on stage. But this is a highly theatrical show, very good material, well realized.
So we have like literally 10 seconds, but on Tuesday they announced the Tony Award nominations for this year. Were any of the things nominated seen here in a pre-Broadway production?
Yes. In fact, 3 shows, all of which I reviewed for YPR. Lynn Nottage's Sweat, which just won the Pulitzer Prize, was nominated for Best Play. Dear Evan Hansen, nominated for Best Musical. Both had pre-Broadway runs at Arena Stage. And then the musical Come From Away, which I reviewed on midday in September when it was at Ford's, also nominated for Best Musical.
So the Baltimore, Washington Theater community.
Well represented
yeah, at the Tonys. That's great. So Dorian's Closet, it's at Rep Stage in Columbia until the 14th of May. We've got a link to the details about showtimes and all that business at wypr.org/midday. So next week, I'm trying to remember. Oh, we're going to be reviewing The Fantastics. Huh? That'll be fun.
That's right, at Chesapeake Shakespeare Company.
All right. Well, thanks, Judy. We shall see you then. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Lunch for our guest today and every Thursday is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. We will recap the news of the weekend. As always, there's plenty to talk about. Hope you can join us for that. Stay tuned now for Here and Now. It's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you joined us. Thanks so much. Have a great day.